to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. If you've noticed, the news over the last few months has been one sexual scandal after another. It all started with women coming forward, outing the film producer Harvey Weinstein as a sexual predator. After that, this whole issue of the casting couch came into the news. That is, Hollywood executives demanding sex in exchange for film jobs. After Weinstein was exposed, many women felt it was a safe time for them to now speak out against many powerful men who have been abusive. So here's a partial list. Mark Halperin, ABC newscaster. Louis C.K., comedian. And of course, you also remember the Bill Cosby sexual scandal. Actor Kevin Spacey, accused of sodomy with a minor. James Toback, Hollywood screenwriter and director. He would lure women to hotel rooms for what was supposed to be auditions. Chris Savino, he was recently let go from Nickelodeon for sexual harassment charges. Roy Price, head of Amazon Studios. A producer accused him of sexual harassment. The celebrity chef, John Besh. Dozens of female employees accused him of sexual harassment. Glenn Thrush, White House correspondent for the New York Times. Contributor to MSNBC. Writer for Politico. And Disney Pixar, John Lasseter. This guy was a real predator in the studio. Women employees would hide from him. And yet it was tolerated in that office culture because enlightened liberals are supposed to approve of sexual promiscuity. Lockhart Steele, the editorial director for Vox magazine, he was fired for sexual misconduct. And Charlie Rose, that intellectual PBS Larry King style interviewer. Here he came across as such a calm, thoughtful, wise individual. But the truth comes out that he was a man with a great temper and he was a sexual predator. And we also know about the sexual harassment cases in regard to David Letterman and Bill O'Reilly. Many powerful men develop pride and a sense of entitlement. And that carries over into their sexual morals. Even King David couldn't handle authority and power. Michael Oreskes, one of the top editors at NPR. Two female journalists came forward and said that Oreskes had made unwanted sexual advances toward them. Now on the political front, there's Al Franken, senator from Minnesota, a former comedian. And part of his comedy routine was sexual jokes and teasing. We find out he put into practice what he preached. And then also Judge Roy Moore in Alabama. The jury is still out on the Moore case, and I just did a program about that. But many women have now come forward, now that the media is willing to pay attention to their stories. Also George H.W. Bush, the senior Bush, has been accused of inappropriate comments and touching from visitors and nursing staff. And we also have come to find out that sexual harassment is a common occurrence in Congress. Congress has a special fund, kept secret from the public, that they use to settle sexual harassment cases against congressmen. It's hush money. This year, the government paid out $934,000 to settle sexual harassment complaints against members of Congress and their staff. You know, this whole system was set up back in 1995 when Congress passed the Congressional Accountability Act. But it was anything but keeping Congress accountable. What it did was create an account bankrolled by taxpayers to cover for sexual harassment charges against Congress. So, over the last few weeks, all of these stories have made the headlines. Why? Well, the Weinstein case encouraged many more women to come forward with accusations who otherwise would have kept quiet. But they come forward now because now it's safe for women to expose these powerful men as sexual predators. In the past, these women would have been afraid to come forward for a number of reasons. First, exposing these men would have jeopardized their careers and their reputation. Because if you out these people, the Hollywood, the media, the government culture will view you as a tattletale, as a stoolie, as a snitch. Remember back in elementary school? The kid who told the teacher about some nefarious action in the classroom did the right thing. But everyone in the class would now view that good student as a snitch. And snitching was considered a worse crime than the crime that was being snitched on. And that's the reality of our fallen, sinful world. Look at how Joseph's brothers treated him because he would report on their behavior back to the father. I remember when I was 13 years old back in public school, I was sitting in an auditorium classroom and a bag of drugs was being passed down the aisle across my lap. Now, I would have loved to have turned those students in, but at the time, the social ramifications weren't worth the moral justice. And the same is true for many of these women who have been sexually harassed. They've simply bit the bullet, chalked it up to experience, and hoped that someday, somehow, these perverts would get their comeuppance from some source. And another reason why these women have kept quiet is because the media in the past would not have paid attention to them. You know, imagine if Leanne Tweeden would have spoken up against Al Franken if this issue wasn't in the news because of the Weinstein case. You can imagine the first response of the media would have been, well, why do you bring this up now? You didn't say anything about it for 11 years. But because of the Weinstein case, many women are willing to share these stories of sexual abuse that in the past they would have felt would have been ignored. Now, all this is happening in the providence of God. Because nothing happens outside the providence of God. So, therefore, what are God's people to learn from all this? And how can we use this event to further the message of Christ, His kingdom, and the gospel? Well, it's certainly a reminder that sin has its comeuppance. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Luke chapter 12, verse 3, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. People think that they can get away with sexual sins, but they can't. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. The one who commits adultery with a woman lacks sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. So whatever temporary thrill one assumes to get from immorality, it is never worth the damage one does to oneself and to others. So on a personal note, these scandals are a reminder to every Christian to strive all the more to live a sexually pure life. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, but immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. Meaning, such sexual scandals, such inappropriate sexual conversations should never be found occurring among God's people, the Christian community. The culture of the church is not to tolerate such behavior. It's not to incubate such behavior. And Christian organizations that experience such scandals need to dissolve. I mean, whole denominations, mission boards, Christian colleges, because moral purity is essential for the Christian testimony. All of these scandals should be a personal reminder to flee immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. And isn't it interesting how God uses the evil behavior of people of this world to sanctify and warn his people? So that even the evil behavior of unsaved people serves a good purpose for the saved. I mean, when I hear of these sexual predators on the news, I'm not filled with self-righteousness, saying, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these people. But instead, I am reminded, by the grace of God, go I. I must be all the more careful not to entertain any form of sexual impurity. Remember what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5? For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So why would a Christian partake in that which is sending people to hell? Revelation 21, immoral persons will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Immorality is the driving principle of the unsaved. It's one of the reasons for their damnation. And a further principle here is that in all of this news, we're reminded that sexual immorality is not harmless. It damages other people emotionally. You might not think it does, but it does. And if you care about other people, you will not covet your neighbor's wife. You will not look upon a woman to lust after her. Matthew 5:28. And the Apostle Paul brings out this principle in 1 Thessalonians 4:4. He writes that we are not to live in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God. And then Paul explains the nature of sexual immorality, that we should not transgress, defraud, or cheat our brother and sister in Christ. And that's what people do when they engage in immorality. The sexually immoral person is only thinking about his own pleasure. And he fails to see that he is actually damaging other people emotionally, spiritually, even when the immorality is consensual. So if you love others, you will protect the moral purity of other people. So the news of all these sexual scandals is one of God's means of sanctifying his people. Proverbs 19:25, strike a scoffer and the naive may become wise. Or as the old saying goes, only a fool learns from his mistakes, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. But now, let's make some observations about these scandals in regard to the culture at large. First, nobody should be surprised at these sexual scandals. Hasn't Hollywood been pushing the sexual revolution for the past 70 years? Americans have been indoctrinated through shows like Seinfeld, Sex and the City, Friends, Anger Management. That free sex is nothing more than harmless recreation. It's nothing more than a handshake. So are we surprised that the very people in Hollywood who produce filthy movies and lewd television shows are filthy and lewd themselves? The bad tree brings forth bad fruit. But here is the conflict or the dilemma among the people of the world. They want sexual liberation from God's moral law, but they still insist on the moral ethic that the immorality be consensual. It's permissible to be immoral, but unwanted sexual advances are not permissible. There are these two competing ethics, sexual freedom and personal rights, especially feminist women's rights. Now, there are a number of things that can be said about this. As long as the culture promotes sexual freedom, personal rights will continue to be violated, because that's just the nature of lust. Lust is selfish, and it's without self-control. The society that promotes sexual liberation strip clubs, pornography, casual sex will be a culture that creates sexual predators. Once the fence of morality is taken down, everything comes across. It's kind of like a society that legalizes drugs. Apparently for those people they think can handle drugs in some moderation. Well, that society will get more crime, more suicides, more death due to drug overdose, more poverty. And the lesson here is that you cannot have sin without all the consequences. The world always thinks otherwise. I like the old adage, a liberal is someone who thinks he can pull out the roots and still have the flower. Also, this conflict between these two values, sexual freedom and personal rights, is transitional. What do I mean? Well, first, there is free sex with the provision that it's consensual. The society is still holding on to that one Christian ethic, personal liberty. But in a generation, that consensual part will be ignored. Like the sodomites beating on Lot's door, demanding sex with his visitors. And we're already hearing certain social leaders coming to the defense of these sexual predators. Like those who are saying Al Franken should not step down, because as a liberal, he will do more good for women's rights in the Senate than out of the Senate. Just like the media also came to defend Bill Clinton. And I'm also now hearing certain people in the media blaming these women. I noticed that in the first few weeks, it was all about coming to the support of these women. But now there are a few emboldened commentators who are saying that these women need to get over this. They need to start living in the real world. So given the moral debauchery of our society, don't expect it to be long before these scandals are no longer considered scandals. This is the nature of a society slouching toward Gomorrah. At first, we hear about these scandals in the news, and we might think that these revelations might be a moral correction for America. Just as one pundit wrote that sexual predators are now put on notice. Well, that might be the case in a nation where this news is accompanied with some sort of biblical teaching and biblical repentance. But I'm afraid in the current climate, the only effect these scandals will have will be to normalize this behavior, where people become so accustomed to hearing about this kind of sexual behavior that they no longer think it's a big deal. And to be a sexual predator becomes normal. To become a sexual predator becomes okay. Which reminds me that professional counselors have written about the fact that after the Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky scandal, there was a dramatic increase in oral sex among teenagers. So rather than the news of our sin correcting this nation, all it does is normalize greater sin. And that's always the result of any news or information that leaves God out. In short, I'm afraid that these scandals is not going to make America a better place, because the only thing that makes America a better place is the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit converting souls. You know, as it is, this whole thing is probably worse than you and I realize. Because even though the media is reporting on how terrible this all is, I really don't think they care. Let me explain. The only reason the Hollywood crowd and the political crowd give the outward appearance of morality and keep their sin in the closet is for that 20 or 30% of the American public that are offended by such things. Because if a politician loses 20% of his previous voters, he's out of office. Or a Hollywood star loses 20% of his fans. Or a businessman loses 20% of his customers. And so, in America, it still pays for immoral people to claim to be moral. There's an old saying that goes like this. Hypocrisy is the compliment that vice pays to virtue. In other words, if there wasn't any virtue to be concerned about, people would not keep their sin hidden and live as hypocrites. So, hypocrisy is the compliment that vice pays to virtue. But someday in America, virtue is going to be so depleted that sinners will no longer attempt to be hypocrites. And that will even be a worse day, where people will just boast about their sin. And that's already happening with people shouting out their abortions, and people in the music industry boasting about their sexual immorality. So in conclusion, these sexual scandals is just another reminder from the Lord that we live in a fallen world. Describing unsaved people in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that they walk in the futility of their mind. They have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. You see, when the human race rebelled against God and disconnected itself from God, one of the first signs of our depravity was the misuse of the gift of procreation. Sex, our sexual drive. Why is that? Well, it can't be fully explained, but it has something to do with making pleasure our God and our loss of love. Take the example of ancient Israel. In her apostasy, in her departure from God in her latter years, the prophets continually chronicled the explosion of immorality in the nation. Jeremiah 23:14. Also among the prophets of Israel, I've seen a horrible thing. The committing of adultery, the walking in falsehood. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. Hosea 5:4. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is within them and they do not know the Lord. The immorality in ancient Israel was the outward sign of some serious inward corruption. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, fornications, and adulteries. Something is wrong with the soul of the immoral man. And when we discover that we have these twisted desires in our heart, we have two choices. We can either agree with them, approve them, follow after them, or we can agree with God that something is terribly wrong within, and we must come to God for forgiveness, for cleansing, for a new heart. And when one is born again by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God grants that new heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. For by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. May God help you to escape the bondage of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with questions, comments, insights. You can also find my posts on our God and Country Radio Facebook page. Join our group or leave a thumbs up. It's godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for taking the time to make God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, save us from the corruption that is in the world through lust. Fill our hearts with the spirit of love and self-control. Redeem us from all iniquities. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.